Callisto did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across West Midlands as you listen. This is their story. Construction training sits at the heart of what makes communities work. Homes people can afford, infrastructure that connects places, the skilled trades that turn planning permission into actual houses. In Solihull West and Shirley, the gap between what exists on paper and what gets built reveals how political choices shape who gets trained and where.
I grew up in Shirley with my hands always busy. My uncle ran a small building crew and I've been working site since I was 16, learning the basics, how to read plans, how to work safely, how different trades fit together. But I was always drawn to the electrical side. There's something satisfying and about making a system work, about knowing that when someone flips a switch, the power flows exactly where it should, because you wired it right. Evenings, I'd come home covered in dust and spend hours on YouTube, learning about smart home systems, renewable energy installations, the kind of work that's going to define the future of construction. I could see where the industry was heading and I wanted to be ready. My dream was simple: get properly qualified, build up a client base, maybe run my own contracting business one day. I knew I had the hands for it. What I needed was the certification. In January 2024, I applied to Birmingham Metropolitan College for their Level 3 Electrical Installation course. It was exactly what I needed. Comprehensive training, recognised qualification, the pathway from site labourer to skilled tradesperson. When I rang to check on my application, they told me the course was oversubscribed. Then came the phrase I'd hear again and again: funding has been cut by West Midlands Combined Authority. We cannot afford to run additional cohorts this year. It sounded reasonable. Budgets are tight everywhere, aren't they? I tried South and City College, Birmingham. Same story, almost word for word. The course is popular, but we have limited places due to funding constraints. I rang the Construction Industry Training Board helpline, thinking they might know about alternative routes or funding streams. The person I spoke to was sympathetic but clear. Budgets are tight across the sector. Try again next year. I accepted it. Everyone was saying the same thing. There was no money. That's just how it is. But in March, walking past the Birmingham Met campus after a job in the area, I noticed something odd. The workshop windows were open and I could see inside. Rows of empty benches, brand new electrical testing equipment still in boxes, plastic wrapping intact, expensive kit that should have been in constant use if the courses were really oversubscribed. I stood there for a long time looking at those empty spaces. That's when I started asking questions. A mate of mine, Danny, works in admin at the college. Over a pint, he told me something that didn't make sense. We actually had 40 unfilled places on the electrical course. The equipment's there, the workshop's ready, but we can't access the funding. I asked him what he meant. He explained that CITB levy funds existed, but Treasury guidelines prioritised existing apprenticeship schemes over adult retraining programmes. The money's there, he said, but we can't touch it for people like you who want to retrain. The money was there, the places were there, the equipment was there, but somehow there was no money. I started looking around my own area with different eyes. Solihull Council has planning permission for 200 new homes, but the building work sits at 65% completion. The reason? They cannot find qualified electricians to finish the installations. I walked those sites. I saw the half-wired houses, the connection boxes, waiting for someone with the right certification to complete the work. I knew I could do that work. I knew dozens of other people who could learn to do that work. The people existed, the training places existed, the housing need existed. The only thing that didn't exist was the connection between them. That's when I stopped accepting the excuse. The government that prints the pounds, that issues the currency, was telling me it could not find enough of those pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, they did, whether the skills could be taught, they could. Whether the materials and equipment were available, they were, sitting unused in workshops across the West Midlands. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household saying, "We cannot afford it," except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and people who needed it. Now, I work casual labour and watch those empty workshops every time I pass them. I see the planning permissions gathering dust while qualified tradespeople get harder to find. I understand what I didn't understand at the start. This isn't about Solihull West and Shirley running out of luck or resources. This is about a system that treats government spending like a household budget, as though the institution that creates pounds might somehow run out of them. I still want to run my own electrical contracting business. The difference is that now I know what's really stopping me. It was never the absence of money. It was the presence of an idea that the government must ration its own currency like a family rationing the weekly shopping budget. Every empty training place, every half-built house, every person like me who could be learning the skills the economy actually needs. All of it traces back to that one false belief. I'm not the only one who's worked this out. In every constituency where people stand ready to learn while training places sit empty, where housing need exists, while builders can't get qualified, someone is realising that the problem was never scarcity. It was a political choice dressed up as an accounting problem. And once you see it, you can't unsee it.
What Callisto experienced has a name: logical fallacy. A logical fallacy is a flaw in reasoning that makes an argument unsound. A false analogy compares two things that seem similar but are fundamentally different. You might compare a goldfish bowl to the ocean because both contain water, but the goldfish bowl has walls and the ocean does not. The comparison breaks down because size and containment make them completely different systems. Every time someone told Callisto there is no money, they were applying a false analogy. They treated the UK government like a household that must save before it spends. But a household uses currency. The government issues currency. A household has a limited income. The government creates money when it spends. The comparison breaks down because currency issuance makes them completely different systems. The Construction Industry Training Board had levy funds available. The colleges had empty workshops and unused equipment. The local authority had housing targets and planning permissions approved. The only shortage was qualified electricians to connect the planning permission to the finished homes. The UK government issues pounds. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. In Callisto's case, those resources were sitting idle. The austerity objection claims we cannot afford to build council housing. The UK government issues the pound. It cannot run out of its own currency. The question is whether we have the builders and land, not whether the Treasury can afford it. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Solihull West and Shirley ranks 502 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 10. The constituency has 831 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £13.1 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.